Standing and take out your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 22 this morning, looking at two of the primary passages dealing this morning with the Lord's Supper. Luke chapter 22 at verse 14. This is the holy, inerrant Word of God. Give it now your full attention as it is read. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. You'll turn over now to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11 at verse 23. Paul writes the Corinthian church at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. Thus far, God's holy word. You may be seated. Let's begin with prayer. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your glorious revelation. We thank you for all of the wisdom and instruction that you have given us in Holy Scripture. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given this word as a means of grace, that we may grow in the grace that you have given us, the grace of our salvation in Christ. And we pray we would grow in that grace even this morning. And we thank you, in addition to that word, you have given us sacraments as means of grace as well. And we pray, even as we consider this morning the Lord's Supper, this wonderful sacrament you have given us as your people, this table that you have prepared before us, we pray that you would work in that sacrament as well to increase our faith, to strengthen that grace within us that we might serve you faithfully, that we might have the courage that we need each and every day to walk before the world testifying of your glory and in your holy name. We ask it all this morning for your sake. Amen. Amen. Do you remember when? Oh, I remember the time. Oh, do you remember that? How often do you think those words will be repeated over the summer? Summertime is a peak reunion season. Millions of family reunions are held over the summer. In fact, have any of you been to a family reunion this summer? Okay. Three or four families in our congregation. And of course, thousands of high schools and colleges and universities have class reunions over the summer. And as families or classmates get together to reminisce, their conversations are replete with the word remember. Remember when? Oh, I remember that time. Do you remember that day when? Now, on our recent trip, the last couple of weeks, Betty and I, when we were out of town down in Central Texas, I looked up an old high school classmate whom I had not seen in 30 years. And I surprised him. I found out where he was living, showed up at his house one afternoon, and we had a great time, a great fun time reminiscing, especially recalling our glory days as high school football players. Of course, the stories kind of get exaggerated over the years, the abilities, kind of like fishing stories. Well, one of the most fun things for me that evening was as we were talking about those days, he surprised me with this program that he kept from a 1965 football game. And he gave it to me. It was the first game of the season that year. And we went down to Corpus Christi, where Betty's from, and we played the number 5 team in the state, and we were just a podunk little nothing team in Austin that year, but we beat those guys 7-0 in the rain in Corpus. And so Mike had kept this program. He said, I want you to have it. And so we had a great time, you know, going through the roster and remembering all the guys and all those fun days. It was an enjoyable evening. Fueled by recollection. Do you remember? Do you remember? That is a heartwarming question whenever it's asked in the company of loving families or longtime friends. We all enjoy being reminded of childhood adventures or high school or college classmates, of shared experiences, and especially the times that ended with laughter or surprises or even embarrassment. But there's more to be gained from reminiscing than entertainment. There's also encouragement and perspective, especially for you, the church, in remembering the past record of God's power and protection and provision for you, His people. We all need to be reminded of great people, great events, and great truths in the providence of God because we're so prone to forget them. Tragically, we tend to forget things because we tag them unimportant. We remember what we esteem, what we cherish. We forget what we do not value. And the Bible, in fact, refers to the sin of forgetfulness. Not just an unfortunate mental slip-up, but a blatant moral failure, sin. Psalm 106, verses 6 and 7 explains, both we and our fathers have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedness. Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea. Rebellion or mutiny in Israel grew from a loss of memory. Forgetfulness led to unfaithfulness. The psalmist ties this forgetfulness to a lack of understanding and a lack of and a failure to appreciate what God had done. In Deuteronomy 9, in verse 6, God reminds his people of this very incident, and he commands them to remember their forgetfulness. He says, know therefore that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stubborn people. Remember and do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. Remember that other time you forgot me. Now, that's a strange command to our 21st century postmodern culture that prefers the worldly counsel. What's too painful to remember, we simply choose to forget. Sounds simple enough, so easy, in fact, that this advice is often heard from pulpits. And there are plenty of books in the average Christian bookstore that push this same formula for personal peace and prosperity. You are confidently told that remembering your own troubled past with all of your warts and weaknesses and wicked ways only produces guilt. And this is bad for your self-esteem. It only hinders the healing process your fragile psyche so desperately needs. You'll only frighten your wounded inner child. And you're assured that God, your big therapist in the sky, surely doesn't want you to remember such unpleasantries. Now, are you familiar with the technical, theological term for all of that that I just described? Baloney. To the contrary, God commands that we retrieve the truths of the past from our suppressive, selective memories. For example, turn, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 16. If you have your Bibles and want to see these texts, Ezekiel 16 at verse 22, we read, the Lord's speaking here through Ezekiel. And in all your abominations and your whorings, you did not remember the days of your youth when you were naked and bare, wallowing in your blood. And then in verse 43, because you have not remembered the days of your youth, but have enraged me with all these things, therefore, behold, I have returned your deeds upon your head, declares the Lord God. Have you not committed lewdness in addition to all your abominations? And so here God rebukes his covenant people for not remembering their past. And then here at the end of this chapter, in verses 61 and 63, he declares that the day is coming when they will remember and be ashamed. Then you will remember your ways and be ashamed when you take your sisters, both your elder and your younger, and I give them to you as daughters, but not on account of the covenant with you. I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall know that I am the Lord, that you may remember and be confounded and never open your mouth again because of your shame, when I atone for you for all that you have done, declares the Lord God. God declares the day is coming when they will remember and be ashamed. And in light of that theme, consider the exhortation of the Apostle Paul as a mature believer gave young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2. We've already looked at this passage in our 2 Timothy series. When he told Timothy, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, the offspring of David. Arthur Way, a noted classical scholar, he offers this amplified rendition of that verse. Keep ever before you Jesus the Messiah. Think of him as the prophetically indicated king of the seed of David. And then William Hendricks comments, let Timothy then rivet his attention upon the resurrection. No, rather let him keep his thought concentrated on the resurrected Lord himself. Keep in memory Jesus Christ as raised from the dead, says Paul, having been raised once for all from the realm in which death reigns. Jesus Christ now remains forever the risen one, hence the living one. Coordinated with this exhortation is the command to keep in memory Jesus Christ as the seed of David. This follows, Hendrickson says, very naturally. For the risen one is surely also the reigning one who sits enthroned at the Father's right hand. The comfort implicit in verse 8 becomes explicit in verses 11 and 12. Timothy, if you and I and all other believers have died with him, Paul says, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. You see there, Paul wanted a sharp, accurate memory of the risen and ruling Lord Jesus in Timothy's mind. Because when the majesty of Christ is constantly remembered, especially in the face of trials and troubles, then the doubts and duress of sinful amnesia are dispelled. Remembrance, in the biblical sense, is more than simply a recollection. You are called to engage your minds actively so that you understand and therefore do not forget. This is the meaning of our Savior's words when he tells us to remember him and his passion when we participate in the Lord's Supper. Eat this bread in remembrance of me. Drink this wine in remembrance of me. And when we examine the language that Jesus used in the upper room concerning the new covenant in his blood, we're immediately reminded of God's promise in Jeremiah 31. When he says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the way when I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Now, the book of Hebrews in the New Testament cites that passage twice. First in chapter 8, then later in chapter 10, to stress the great truth that forgiveness is complete because God has promised not to remember your sin. Because of Christ's perfect sacrifice in your place. Satisfied with what his precious son did, the Father forgets, as it were, to treat us as we deserve. His wrath and anger against us vanish forever in his mysterious divine decree of merciful amnesia. This is what the Lord says. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. You, however, beloved, as forgiven children, you are called to remember your past and all that goes with it, because, as Calvin put it, we have short memories in magnifying God's grace. There's no better way to appreciate the grace of God than to remember that while you were still sinners and enemies in your hearts and minds toward God, Christ died for you. And the Lord's Supper is a merciful means of improving your memory of the greatness of God's love toward you in Christ. Communion is not a mindless ritual or routine, but it's a precious recurring time of reunion with Christ. It's a time to rehearse, to recall and remember the depths of sin from which he saved you, and the height of glory which awaits you as his holy bride. In his real spiritual presence, at his royal table, you are invited this morning to revere and to remember him. To remember him who remembers your sins no more. Remember who he is. Remember his promise and plan before the world began. Remember where he came from and what he left behind. Remember his humiliation, how he came and lived. Remember what he endured at the hands of sinful men. Remember his misery, his sorrow, and sadness. Remember his passion, how he suffered and died, and what he cried in his hour of agony. Remember what he became on the cross. Remember how the Father saw him. Remember God's wrath that pierced his soul and plunged him into the fury of hell's fire. Remember his victorious cry from the cross. It is finished. Remember why he did not resist, but freely gave himself as a sacrifice, a ransom. Remember the value of his blood, the worth of his life. Remember what his blood alone can cleanse. Remember for whom his priceless blood was spilled. Remember how sin made you a slave to unrighteousness, condemns you to death, and renders you powerless to satisfy God's just demands. And then remember how death was powerless to hold him. Remember the triumph, the triumphant news from an empty tomb. He is risen. He is not here. And remember his return to heaven. Remember that he's seated on his divine throne and he's ruling the world for the sake of his people, for your sake. He's doing that right now. Remember his promise to return for you, his precious bride. Remember and rejoice that eternal life, your glorious destiny as adopted children and royal heirs of the living God, does not depend on your desires or efforts, but on him who loved you and gave himself for you. Beloved, whether it is felt or not, you need to remember these things. Remember and rejoice. Praise your Lord Jesus Christ, your righteous Redeemer, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies your desires with good things. He does not treat you as your sins deserve, or repay you according to your iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgressions from his sight. And the psalmist then says, forget not all his benefits. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you that you have given us this visible, sensible sacrament, Lord, to help us with our poor memories, to help us, Lord God, according to your word, to remember all the glorious truths of the gospel of our salvation, fulfilled for us, Lord Jesus, by your gracious hand. We pray even this morning that your Spirit, who inspired this word and who inspired the giving even of this sacrament, might work in our hearts to enable us to remember you, Lord Jesus, in all of your humiliation and also in all of your exaltation, all that you have done to bring us to yourself and to enable us to love and serve you and to enjoy you forever. We thank you, O Christ, for such a great salvation. We pray all of our praises in your most holy name. Amen.